and thank you so much. This is your host, psychic medium Antoinette, with the Enlightenment Hour. I can't believe the month of June has totally gone by. I don't know where it has gone, but it's been a very, very busy month. A lot of new things are coming to rise for my company. I'm expanding it. I'm getting it out there. And again, I know I told all you lovely viewers that my website was going to be done, but it hasn't. I haven't criteria yet, and it will be done very soon. I promise you that. I promise. Anyways, this month I have two guests. Francis Key is coming up on the 15th of July, and today my host is Ethan Fox. And of course, I want to say to all of you guys out there, July, the 4th of July is coming up very quickly, and I want to say to all of you to be safe and enjoy your holiday celebrating America's birthday. So, before I begin with my guest bio, I want to say thank you to all my listeners who listen to me, and I want to say if you can keep up with me on Facebook, you can go to my Facebook page, and it's Psychic Antoinette Zaleski at Facebook.com. Or you can check out my website. It's at www.mediumantoinette.com. There you'll be able to see what services I provide. And if you want, you can schedule a reading with me any time of the day. So I'm going to go with my today's guest, and I'm going to go with the bio. And my guest today is Ethan Fox. Ethan Fox is a spiritual teacher and the leader of the Flower of Life Center for Human Evolution, and the founder of Visionary Beyond the Wake and Empowered Expo. Mr. Fox has spent the past 19 years as a practicing astrologer and numerologist, as well as a business and financial arena. In late 2010, he experienced a spiritual awakening that changed the course of his life, and that the Flower of Life was established. Thank you so much. Ethan Fox has been a student and practicing astrologer and numerologist for the past 19 years. Fascinating. During this time, he has studied and brought together the wisdom of various Eastern and Western philosophies into a singular cohesive system. Besides his passion for understanding life, Ethan also is an entrepreneur and has been a business owner for the past 25 years. It is through his business ventures and study of financial markets that he has accumulated a wealth of knowledge and experience in what works and doesn't work in his business. Through his years of entrepreneurship, he has learned how to build a better business and how to increase the chances of financial success. As a result of his passion for understanding the human condition, he has also been a student of psychology and how to increase one's happiness and potential in life. Through the use of reconditioning techniques and changes in diet and lifestyle, today he teaches these techniques to individuals and audiences with very positive results. Ethan is also a very spiritual and deeply spiritual person who has been gifted by the divine with unusual spiritual healing abilities that enabled him to relieve others of their karma and also increase their level of consciousness. Today he utilizes the gift one-on-one or group sessions. And I want to say thank you so much. And Ethan, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Antoinette. Thank you for inviting me on the call.
Thank you so much for coming here and joining me on the Enlightenment Hour. I was reading through your bio, and I found it very fascinating of all the things you have come together in the last 25 years of your life, and I found it very interesting and fascinating, and I want to say thank you for joining me today.
Sure. It's my pleasure to be here. Where would you like to start?
If you don't mind, I'd like to ask you a few questions pertaining to, it says that you do astrology and numerology. How did you become interested in both these subjects?
Oh, that's an interesting story. Well, it's interesting for me anyway. It was a little over 20 years ago, I met this guy who was at the time in his 40s, and he was a hippie from, the 60s and 70s who never got out of being a hippie, and he was really into astrology, and we were really close friends, and he would talk about astrology constantly, and I had no idea what he was talking about, and at the time I didn't really believe that astrology or numerology for that matter made any sense. It didn't make any sense to me that you could predict the future or even understand a person with these with this knowledge. And so I just ignored him. But finally, he just never gave up. And so we would go out to lunch and dinner and whatnot, and he would just start talking in these technical terms that I did not understand. So finally, I gave in and got a book and started studying astrology. And I was really blown away by the level of accuracy that it had, and you know, even just understanding my own life. And then as time progressed, I used it to understand other people and relationships that I was in, and I've been in business my entire adult life, or most of it anyway, and so I became really skilled at using it in forecasting business cycles, and I was also involved in the financial markets, and so I used it for forecasting financial cycles. So it's been a long journey, and there's probably not been a single day in 20 years that I have not looked at an astrology or numerology chart of something or someone to try to understand what's going on.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Now, how do you just take their birthday and you take where the time they were born and where they were born, and then you just calculate it from there?
Yeah, with numerology, you don't. Yes, with astrology, yes. And the time isn't absolutely critical, but it does make it hard to forecast certain things precisely. But I can usually figure out the time given enough, you know, given enough information about the person. I can generally narrow down what time they were born. It takes a little effort, but it can be done. But yes, you can do that. And even with numerology alone, you can find an immense amount of information about a person's life that you wouldn't otherwise know, you know, just and even how they view the world, how they would dress, how, you know, whether they're more serious or not, are they successful. You can tell a lot just from that. But I combine various Eastern and Western astrology and numerology techniques to get my overall understanding. And the same is true for business. You know, with business, a lot of times you don't know what time the company was actually incorporated, but you can tell a lot just from the date and the name of the company itself. So, yeah, that's generally how I do it.
Now, is there different types of astrology? I mean, I know there is this, like, Vedic or Chinese, and there's mm-hmm. different forms of practices of it. Like you said, there's Eastern and Western. But so you basically bring both of those in, and that's how you correlate to get the information you need for, say, a person or a business or so on and so forth, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I
so
would say that I'm very...
what's the difference between Eastern and Western?
Well, I wouldn't say that I'm very adept at the Vedic astrology, which is kind of funny because I'm originally from India, but that's the one method that I don't fully understand well enough that I could use it regularly. But I do use I combine Western techniques of astrology with Chinese astrology as well, and I also use Eastern and Western numerology, which there's Chaldean numerology and even the Indian version of numerology, which is very different than what we use in the United States. And I use a completely unique method of numerology that was developed by this guy in Canada a while back, and their organization is called the Cabalarian Society, and I use theirs as well. So they differ, you know, you may not know that a lot of these sciences are said to have originated with Pythagoras, although I think they predate Pythagoras, but Pythagoras in Alexandria used to teach all of some very advanced things, including astrology and numerology. But he never taught everything to, first of all, you couldn't just join his school. You had to be asked. You had to be invited by him to join. It was a mystery school. So only a small number of people ever learned these techniques. And everything was passed on by word of mouth. Nothing was permitted to be written down. So when he died, all of these students who had, each one had different kinds of understanding and different levels of understanding, went out into the world carrying their unique understanding. And I think what probably happened was these different modalities split up into different techniques. Because what I find is that the combination of all these different techniques actually yields a much more accurate, more precise understanding of cycles in our lives. So because they do approach things differently, and I find that I get a different kind of information from each one of them, but putting them together makes them that much more powerful. So you know, even the way the numbers are treated are very different in Eastern and Western systems. So it's quite a, you know, they're very unique.
Huh. So now when you do the, because, you know, I do astrology too, but I don't do it in depth as you do. But I do it like if someone, like I'm a Pisces. What is your sign? What is your sun sign?
I'm a Pisces as well.
Oh, okay. When's your birthday?
March 11th.
Okay, mine's March 1st. So, like, you know, if I would say, because I'm a psychic medium, and sometimes I entwine that with my readings, and I'll ask somebody, okay, what's your sign and what's the other person's sign? And I can base that off of their personalities-wise. Do you do that as well in your astrology? I mean, can you figure out the person's personality through the astrology that you're doing?
Oh, of course, but I really don't stop with the sun sign. The sun sign is barely a start for me. I look at all the different planets. If you saw how I look at astrology, most people, when they actually watch me look at charts, they can't understand how I can possibly make any sense out of all that, because I actually look at a multitude of different charts together and overlapped over one another. It's quite a bit more complex technique than most astrologers use. And so it's not even as simple to say that I look at all the planets and all the interrelationships between the planets, because I also look at interrelationships between multiple different charts to give me a perspective of not only personality, but why that person's here, where they're going, where they are now, will they make money, will they not, you know, things like that. Will they meet or, you know, have a significant relationship? There's so much you can tell. But astrology and numerology, but especially astrology, is a lifelong study. You never learn it, and I'm still learning, even though I'm very advanced in these two sciences, but even still, I know that 20 years from now, I will have exponentially grown in my knowledge, and that's just the nature of this. If you have a knack for it, and not everybody does, but if you have a knack for it, you will never stop learning. And you know, I'm well beyond where I can actually learn from somebody else anymore or from books, because I've gotten to a point where my own research and looking at charts and studying them is really where all my learning comes from these days. So yeah, you can figure out virtually everything. You can't really, there's really no limit to it.
Yeah, no, I understand. I mean, it's like we're always growing, and I think that's an important thing. You're always willing to grow and learn and more and learn more about what you do, and I think it's actually fascinating, and I'm very pleased that you're here. Again, like I told you, I don't do numerology. I've never been interested in that. I've always been interested in astrology and you know, the horoscopes and stuff, but I don't really get into it. Like I told you, I just base it off of certain things. And I tried actually doing astrology, and I just find it very, very hard for me to kind of connect what the houses mean and all that, and I'm just like, that is so confusing. So I'll just stick to my regular, you know, psychic medium stuff that I do. I just think that adding more in that would just be so more confusing to me. But I do want to ask you another question. It says that in your bio, and also I looked on your website too, that you predicted and accumulated a system for the human compatibility. What is that all about? Like, how do you emphasize that? And where did you come up with this idea of putting this together for that?
For compatibility between people, you mean?
Yeah, I mean, what is that based off, and how did you come about doing this?
Well, it's a very complicated system, and I couldn't it would be hard for me to explain it even to an astrologer, but I can say that it is it's remarkably accurate, and I would be really surprised if anyone out there has. I mean, I'm sure some people out there have the ability to figure out compatibility, but it's a very, very complicated system, but it's remarkably accurate. I can take two people and tell you if they will, you know, if they'll love each other or not. I can tell you if where the problems will be in the relationship, and what I found is is the majority of relationships that I've looked at and marriages are really not as good as they could be. I think, you know, we tend to be attracted to one another not based on what will make a relationship good, but based on what people call chemistry. And chemistry often is an interplay between planetary influences in a chart that attract two people together, but the very things that attract them are often the things that cause them the greatest amount of grief in the relationship. But I've developed a system where I can tell if two people will genuinely love each other. And I can tell you when you know, a lot of people send me their, you know, whenever they meet someone new, they send me this person's birthday and they ask me, well, what do you think of this person? And I'll tell them. And I'm always right about how the relationship will go, whether it's a good one or a bad one. And quite often I'll tell them this is a good relationship or not. And the ones that are good, it's interesting. And I'll tell you, the majority of people who are listening to your show have probably never or very rarely had this kind of a relationship. But when you have it, you feel instantly comfortable with that person. You feel a level of warmth and caring for them, like you want to take care of them, you know, no matter what, protect them from the world. There's that sort of feeling that comes over you when the compatibility is just right. And you put two people like that together, and they can have a wonderful relationship or marriage or whatever. It's a remarkable system, and I'm always tweaking it and perfecting it. But it's now to a point where I can say that I'm comfortable with where it is. And one of my goals long term is, although I have too many projects going on now to really take it on, I'd really love to at some point help people to find each other and, you know, have some better relationships. Because I think that is one of the fundamental problems with our society today is our relationships and our family unit have been really compromised, and it makes for an unhappy, unstable society. But anyway, I have to agree with that too.
Yeah. And I have to be honest with you. I think the different components for the family life and finding relationships, I think everybody's trying to actually sit down and have a family unit like they used to back in the 50s and 60s. I think everything, you know, including, you know, social media, you know, all the technology has come across today. I mean, I remember when I was in high school, we didn't have internet yet, you know. We didn't have Facebook. We didn't have the cell. I mean, if you had a cell phone, I think it was more of the sense like if you were kind of wealthy if you had a cell phone. So, I mean, technology, I think, is a big thing why families are not being incorporated into, you know, having that family unit. And also when you said about, you know, your human compatibility, that you have, you know, that warm, fuzzy feeling, a lot of people would take that as being soulmates or twin flames. Do you agree, or what's your thought on that?
No, actually, I'm the guy who often bursts people's bubbles about soulmates, because I can tell you that the majority of people who meet soulmates, and I can generally see in an astrology chart if someone's a soulmate and when you could potentially meet a soulmate in your life. And what I can tell you is often soulmates are the most difficult relationships that people will have, and they're the relationships where we tend to struggle the most and we go through the most amount of difficulty and growth. Soulmates, it's rare that a soulmate relationship is an easy one. And that doesn't mean that you can't have an easy soulmate relationship, but I can tell you the majority of people who just happen to meet someone who they think is a soulmate, it is usually the most difficult thing that they'll ever go through. But at the same time, it is also the thing that will cause them to grow within themselves in ways that they would not have otherwise done, because our soulmates have such a strong pull on us that we cannot resist them. And so we feel such a strong attraction. But most of the time when I look at a soulmate relationship, they are the most difficult relationships. And ultimately, they don't work. You know, they're not meant to last. There's a love there, but there's a great amount of suffering there as well in most cases, because usually these are two souls that were somehow separated in past lives, and here they are together again to deal with the karma of that, you know?
Yeah, no, I totally believe that. I believe in karma is a big one.
Mm-hmm.
I believe what you do to others will come back on you. I believe in that big time. And I know that, you know, as we said, karma, I know that you also try to heal or do something of the effect of karma as well. Mm-hmm. You want to elaborate what I'm talking about here? Do you know what I mean?
Yes, well, that's a long story, but I have always had this ability that I didn't realize that I had until about a year and a half ago when I met this woman who can see auras. And if you're familiar with Edgar Cayce would describe how he could see auras in vivid color and detail. And until meeting this woman, I'd never known anybody personally who could see energy fields as well as Edgar Cayce would describe it. And she... Mm-hmm. Could see them. And when I met her, she made a point to point out to me that she had never seen an aura as big as mine and the colors that my energy field had. And so it made me reflect on my life and realize that I've always had very bizarre things happening around me. And it made sense now that what she was saying, why my life has had these unusual circumstances and I've had this very unusual effect on people my entire life. And so as an experiment, I decided to invite a group of people to get together. And I did, and basically I channeled energy to a whole group of people by just sitting in the room without actually physically touching anyone. There were about 20, 25 people in the first time that we did it. And my friend Barb, who can see auras, was there, and she could actually see all the energy flying around the room. And what I asked them to do was I asked them to focus their mind on sending me their negative energy, negative thoughts, negative emotions, karma, whatever. And Barb could actually see all this really dark energy coming from each person to me. And at the same time, I was sending them an energy to uplift their consciousness, and she could also see that as well. So this goes on for about 15, 20 minutes, and afterwards she says that everybody's aura doubles or triples in size, and what I've noticed is the people who've attended regularly, their energy fields are consistently bigger than ordinary people, and they're happier, their lives are better, their health improves. So we've been doing this for over a year now with groups of people, and the success, you know, it's been very, very dramatic success. And one of the most common things that happens with a raise in consciousness and removal of karma is that the happiness level of the person goes up. And so that's one of the things that I hear the most is people are just happier no matter what's going on in their life. They are coasting through life without as much stress, and they, you know, their minds open to new realities, and it's been very rewarding to do that.
Yeah, I've heard about that numerous times.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, if you get rid of some negativity and all that aspects, then the level of conscience and the level of happiness, that person kind of, you know, tweaks and you notice a difference, and I think that's just absolutely fascinating. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't have that ability. I think that, you know, empath, I kind of suck more of the energy up than I try to get rid of the energy. And I think you notice that with most empaths. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's people who are empathic usually are too sensitive. They're hypersensitive, and so they sense everything in their environment. It's not wise for a person like that to intentionally ask for a group of people to send their negative energy. That would be very self-destructive.
No.
You know, for some reason, my body seems to be protected from that. I can be in negative environments and adverse environments around negative energy, and my body, my energy field, just burns it up. And that's what Barb sees when I'm in a group of people and doing this. She sees as the negative energy reaches close to me, it disintegrates as it hits my aura. So it doesn't actually penetrate through to me. But most people don't have that ability. And it's not wise, and especially empathic people are already too sensitive as it is, and they have a hard time shielding themselves from adverse energy. So it's not a wise thing for them to.
No, it's not. I mean, you know, I have to ground myself constantly,
mm-hmm.
and because of that, and it's actually very annoying at times because, you know, sometimes I can take on the other person's energy, and I can, you know, that energy will stay with me until I get rid of it and ground myself. And it's very hard to kind of distinguish what's yours, feelings, and what's anybody else's.
Right, right. And one of the benefits that we've noticed from people who are empathic, who have been attending my consciousness events regularly, is that their tolerance for being around other people increases. So it's not like they're going to have the same level of ability that I have, but at the same time, as their energy field continues to expand, it's almost like they have a built-in protective shield that's always on that they don't have to think about. And similar to me, but not quite to the same level. So we have noticed a benefit to people who are normally sensitive to energy are not as adversely affected by negative energies in their environment. So that's a definite plus that's been happening as well.
Yes. No. There's a lot of... It's, you know, actually, I don't know if you're aware of this, and I'm sure you are, but I just feel like, you know, intuitively, perspective, there's a lot of shifting going on. I just feel like this year and next year is going to be a lot of shifting in the energies. And what I mean by that, personally, is that I feel things are going to become more aware. World events are going to be changing. There's a lot of things that's positive and negative, but I've noticed there's a shifting within the last year, and it's coming up in the next 2 years. There's a lot of shifting, and I just think people are going to be more open, are going to be more aware. Do you sense that feeling too?
Mm-hmm. Sure. And well, I come at everything from multiple sides. I'm an astrologer, numerologist, but I also... I'm involved in, intimately involved in all the various breakthroughs happening in the world, and you know, I have a lot of, one of the great things about my life is I'm surrounded by brilliant people in all different fields, and I'm observing what's happening in all these fields and all of their lives, and I can confirm that. But I can tell you, as an astrologer, that these years between now and 2016 are going to be this push-pull between two sides, the establishment really trying to restrict the people more, all the while the people are pushing out and away from these restrictions. So we're going to see this these pushing up against each other of two different sides. And then we break through to a period between now and the mid-2040s where it's going to be a dramatic revolutionary period here on the planet where everything's going to change, where we're going to have more freedom for the people, access to breakthroughs in health and technology that will blow your mind, that I can tell you are real and are happening today, that I'm that I'm aware of and involved in bringing to light in the world. So, yes, we are in a process. You know, for years we all talked about this, that this awakening is coming. I can tell you for certain that it is real. It is real, and it is happening, and it's affecting every aspect of the fabric of the society that we live in, and it's just a matter of years before it all emerges to the surface, and it's starting to already.
Yeah, I can see all the emergence of the technologies coming through with the health and stuff, but I still think there's a lot of things like, you know, cancer for one. We still have not found a cure for that, and I think that's going to be a long time before we actually do. Now, AIDS, the same thing with AIDS. We have more drugs for that, but we still don't have cures for these. I mean, it's you know, the 21st century, and we still don't have cures for these two important diseases that have killed millions of people.
I recently had
a friend, mother that just died from cancer. You know, I mean, there's a lot of things that are coming out, you know, like, you know, there's more technology, and what I mean by this is, like, you know, I just saw it on TV the other day, what is it, the little, you know, you start in, like, Total Recall, you know, you have this, like, little button that you can press, and it tells you, hello, you know, good morning, Miss Susie, you know, and stuff like that. But we have all that great electronic stuff coming out, but is that going to be included in the health technology? Do you see where I'm going here?
Well, first of all, let me back up and tell you that it may shock you to know that there are a ton of cures for cancer. They've been out there for a while, and I can tell you that they work. And if someone has cancer or diabetes or AIDS, the cures are there, and the cures are very fast and very fast acting. There is an element of our society that is trying very hard to maintain the belief that these things are not curable, and that the medical system and the governmental structures are, and big corporations have no interest in curing illness. And so if you go the conventional route, yes, there is no hope for cancer or any of these illnesses. But I can tell you with absolute certainty, because this is what I do, is I work in bringing these new sciences and technologies to the world through our expo and other means. And I can tell you that there is absolutely a cure for every single illness you can possibly imagine.
Now, is it through homeopathic? What is it through, then, if it's not through the normal prospect of the medical field? I mean, if it's not through the medical realm, what is it through, then?
Well, first of all, we have to understand that the medical system is based off of a structure that is owned and paid for by the pharmaceutical companies. The pharmaceutical companies have no interest in curing anything. Their interest is in maintaining illness so that they can make more money. So if you understand that model, you know that there is never going to be a hope for a cure through that system, because it would not serve them. If suddenly tomorrow they cured cancer, they'd all be out of business, because you go in for one visit, cancer would be cured, you have to never come back. And you're not going to see a cure coming out of those systems. So if your mind is fixated on finding a cure through conventional means, you're never going to find it, or at least you're not going to find it for the next 20, 30 years until all those systems collapse. But what I can tell you is there are technologies available, and in fact, there have been many doctors in the United States who have either been forced out of business or have had to leave the country in order to practice medicine because they were curing cancer. There are many doctors who are doing that, and some who are very, very well known. But the majority of them who are treating cancer in the U.S. are doing them behind closed doors, secretly. They're not telling anybody, because the moment they do, they get into trouble with the establishment, you know, and they either get sued or their license gets taken away. I can also tell you there are technologies available and have been available for a long time now that cure cancer and that cure AIDS. I can send you to 10 different things that will solve your cancer problem within days or months at the most.
Now, is it homeopathic, or is it go ahead.
It's not what you think of as conventionally homeopathic, okay? So I'm going to present a little bit of a revolutionary idea here, but this is where medicine is going. This is where health care is going. Our bodies are made up of vibration, okay? Everything in our universe is matter vibrating at different frequencies. So when you eat a carrot, for example, or eat a piece of steak, you're absorbing the vibration of what you're eating. And so that vibration is altering the vibration or the frequencies that your body contains. And so each time you eat something, or if you spend time with a certain person, those frequencies of your environment are affecting you. This is why cell phones cause cancer and EMFs cause cancer, and because the frequency of those energies are adverse to the human body's frequency, and they lead to cancer. In the same way, if you eat genetically engineered foods, well, the frequency of genetically engineered foods adversely affects the frequency of your body and leads to cancer. So this is why people who eat a more healthy diet tend to not get illnesses, whereas people who eat a lot of processed foods do. It's just a matter of frequency. Now, what's happening in healthcare now is that finally people are starting to figure out how the frequencies in the body work, such that, and this is the same way homeopathics work because they introduce a certain frequency of something into your body that rewrites the frequency pattern that's already there. But homeopathics can be very slow in how they work, and sometimes they don't work because everybody's body is different, and we have a different mixture of frequencies in our body, mm-hmm. and different levels
right.
of health. And but we're getting to a point now where we can use the frequency itself to alter the body's health, and through different means. So there are different technologies available both in the U.S. and overseas. I can tell you there's a scientist in Belgium who has been curing cancer for many years, and he's already made the statement that, well, if you have cancer, just come here, we'll cure it, it's no problem. You know, we've done it many times. There are people here that I know of even locally who have been curing thousands of cases of cancer for a long time. So, and there's a guy who, if you look at our expo website, in the next week I'm going to be posting an interview that I just did with a practitioner who came out here who is, I believe, going to completely change the face of health and how we treat it in the future.
Where's your location at?
We're in Michigan. But our website has a number of interviews on it. I've interviewed a number of our presenters who are, each of them are doing breakthrough work in different fields. Several of my friends have been to him with a variety of illnesses that they have not successfully been able to treat for a long time, and some of them within minutes experienced a complete relief of what their problem was, and he has said he has been able to successfully treat every illness that he has come across without a single failure, and this guy, you know, he's been doing this for I believe 20 or 30 years, so it's not like it's something brand new, and I can tell you that this is the new future that we're heading into. We have one of our presenters at our expo is a geneticist from Russia, and he has been working in this field he calls wave genetics, linguistic wave genetics, and he has been able to successfully transfer DNA from one species to another, and I asked him using a laser beam, and so what we're starting to find is that our genetics and our body's health are not physical. They have an electromagnetic or frequency quality to it that we can alter using frequency of light or frequency of sound and so on. And by doing so, we can alter the state of our health. And in my conversation with him, now he's a scientist, he's a geneticist, and I asked him, well, does this mean human beings will be able to live forever? And he said, no, but in 10 years, we'll be bringing products to market that'll enable them to live for 800-900 years in perfect health if they want to. So this is the future we're heading toward. I don't know if I want to live that long. Yeah, well, see, a lot of people tell me that. But see, that's because in our minds, human beings think that life is suffering and difficulty, and why would you want to extend that suffering and difficulty? But when you realize that life is not those things, life can be very happy and fulfilling and adventurous, and we can do meaningful things. Majority of people are doing things that are not meaningful. They're working in jobs they don't like, and they're, mm-hmm, you know, they're stuck true. In relationships they don't
yeah,
love.
Yeah, but you also got to understand, too, Mr. Fox, is that, you know how the old saying goes, you know, and a lot of values and morals and my own beliefs, you know, because I do work in the spiritual realm, too, and I do work in that set, you know, with mediumship, and I do work in life after death and stuff, you know. You're raised to think, okay, you know, you're born, you go to adulthood, you know, you go to the ending cycle of life, you know, everything has a cycle, and then you die and you go into the other side or wherever you know, your religion takes you. And, you know, I don't know, personally, in my perspective, I don't think I'm going to want to live another 300 years, just for an example. I don't want to. I don't, you know, it must be, for me, I just see that as a, not a meaningful way of living. I just think that the cycle needs to end. That's what I'm trying to say, is that I think that cycle needs to end. I mean, once you're born, you go through what you need to do, and then you die. You lived your life, your journey of life. That's what I think.
Well, yeah, that's perfectly fine. Everybody has, you know, a right to believe how they, you know, live how they want to live. But see, it's all a matter of cycles. In biblical times, the stories in the Bible talk about people living for 900 years or whatever. What's happening now is that as of the end of 2012, we have crossed over for the first time in 26,000 years, we have crossed over into an age of enlightenment. And so for the next thousands of years, we are moving further and further toward an age of enlightenment. And what is going to happen is, see, in the last thousands of years, our lifespans have become shorter. In the next thousands of years, our lifespans are going to become longer, and so that we will be living thousands of years again. So we're at the very beginnings of that, so it's not uncommon that people would believe, well, why would you want to live that long? But what's going to happen as we go further forward is that people will live longer and longer and longer. It'll become normal for a person to live several hundred years. In the next 100 years from now, it'll be normal for people to live for several hundred years. So the conversation is going to change. The beliefs are going to change around that. And so the majority of people 100 years from now will be thinking more like me, you know, excited to live longer, because it'll just be the norm. You'll be having kids at 100 versus having kids at, you know, 30 years old, because that'll be the norm. We're already on the beginning of that.
And I totally agree. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, it's just a different thing to kind of grasp and kind of to have that realistic thought of thinking, okay, do I want to live to 700 years, and do I want to look like, you know, is it going to be like, you know, are you going to live to 700 years, and are you going to look like an old granny, or are you going to look rejuvenate like you're in your 30s?
Yes. You can look however you want. You can live. The technology is already here, and I can tell you there are already products on market now that extend life and keep you young. So you will, where we're heading is you'll look right around, say, 25, 30-ish for the rest of your life if you want to. That's where we're heading, and it's already possible. It's already, the technology is already here. There are already some products on market that are making this real. But in the next 10 years, we're going to see remarkable breakthroughs even more. And the further we go, the more and more we're going to see. But ultimately, that's where we're heading is people will have the ability to, you know, at the point that your body stops growing, which is around 25 or 20-ish, is where you can freeze your physical aging process, and you can maintain your body in perfect health at that point if you want to. It's already here. So,
well, interesting. Well, I'd like to kick it off because we have a few more minutes. But I'd like to get into more of your into your businesses that you've accumulated over the years. And I was just wondering if you can go into that. And then before we end the show, I want to go into your Flower of Life Center. But so what do you do for your businesses? Do you have numerous businesses? And what establishments do you have with that? I mean, do you just accumulate all different kinds of businesses and you work from there, or what is it that you do?
So, I mean, what do I do for work? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, because, you know, as I was reading through all the information, it says that you have different business ventures, and I was just curious what you've been doing in your businesses that are flowing really well, and what is your secret to getting that to be so successful?
Well, first of all, I don't have a lot of different businesses now. I have run a number of businesses over the years in different fields, from internet consulting to in the financial markets and things like that. So I've done a variety of things over the years, but my primary focus these days is the conference that we're putting together here. And I do work as an astrologer, numerologist, and healer, and those are my main areas of focus. Now, in terms of what can you do to be successful in business, that conversation alone could take us another hour at least. But you know, that's because I can come at that from different sides, because I've been in business a long time, but I also understand cycles and I understand the person's chart, and I can tell you that not everybody has a predisposition to success in their astrology and numerology. But it can be repaired, though, if you know how to do it. And that's an area that I've focused a great deal of my attention in my life is how can you take someone who may not be successful and make them successful by choosing the right business to go into, or the right timing, or finding the right partner. It can be done. But not everybody is meant to reach the same level of success. Or financial success, I should say. But the pr- problem the majority of people, I think, have is not that they can't reach a financial level of success, but it's that they are doing things that are not the things that they should be doing that would make them happy. A lot of people work in fields that are not really their true passion because we are trained from a young age in society to believe that we need to go follow a certain path and go to school, get a degree, and then go sit in a cubicle for the rest of our lives doing something that really isn't true to our nature. And as we start to go forward into the future, I think more and more people are going to discover what it is that they're really meant to do and focus in that area. And when you do that, success comes naturally. So I think that it's really as simple as discovering what it is that is that why are you here on this planet and what are you here to contribute and what unique ability do you have? Because everybody has one. When you discover what that is, being successful becomes easy. The problem with the majority of people is that the majority of people are doing things that really are not true to their nature and are not things that are unique that they can contribute to the world. And so they're all unhappy and don't feel successful. Success is not money. Success is doing something that makes you excited to be doing it every day. Even if you made no money, you would still do it. That's what success is. But I can't help a person to become more financially successful or whatever. But at certain times in our life, we are going to struggle, and those are in our astrology charts, and they're meant to happen. And when those things happen, you have to weather them out. There's nothing you can do to fix it. I have those myself.
That's the majority with people. You know, a lot of people have struggles, and my own perspective, I think that's the way of learning and moving on from that and saying, okay, I made that mistake, and hopefully I'll go in this direction so I won't make that mistake again and learning from what I just did. And I think your perspective and a lot of other people's, including mine, are similar, but, you know, people look at it in a different way of different components and different ways of looking into it. But I find what you're doing is very good for society. I think that you're trying to, you know, say, hey, there's a different approach to this, and, you know, I can do this and do this way. And I think what you're doing is fascinating, and I really appreciate you coming here and telling everybody, all my viewers, what you have been doing for the past 20-something years. But I do want to talk, before we end the show, I do want to talk about the Flower of Life Center.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we the Flower of Life Center is a local group. We have a number of different classes on. I also teach raise consciousness in as one of the classes that we have. We have events here locally, and I also do events worldwide where I transmit energy to people worldwide. So if anyone wants to participate remotely, they can join my Facebook page, which is, facebook.com, Ethan Fox Energy Transfer. And if they do that, then I'll include them in the remote energy transmissions as well. But our Flower of Life events, we have them locally where people come and we have classes like Tai Chi and we have raw food groups and Qigong and things like that. And we have a separate sub-branch of it called Conscious Action, where we're really focused on creating change in the world through a conscious activism movement. So we're working to address the issue of GMO foods or chemtrails or fluoridation in the water, and those kinds of things are part of the activist aspect of our group. And we also have been transmitting information that we've been receiving, you know, through psychic channels from higher beings and extraterrestrials and so on. And so that's something that we also do there. But the main project that we're working on through Flower of Life is the Awaken Empowered Expo, which we have coming up this October 11th through 13th here in Michigan. And that event is sort of the culmination of everything that Flower of Life is about. It's really about empowering people. So you're talking about there's no cure for cancer. Well, we have a whole bunch of people in that who are going to be speaking at that expo who are curing cancer now. And so the expo is all about bringing these breakthroughs of that are happening all over the world, from everything from science to technology to genetics to health to archaeology, I mean, mind-blowing stuff that most people have never heard of, into one place so that we can start to change the world a little at a time by informing people and pointing them in these different directions so that, you know, so if somebody has cancer, it's not hopeless anymore. You know, they don't have to have it by next month if they don't want to. It's,
well,
it's yeah, so that's, the expo is really the main aspect of our focus these days. But for me personally, the consciousness work that I do is really my personal passion, and I'll be doing that at the expo as well. So,
well, good. So now how can my viewers, and your viewers, of course, too, how can anybody get a hold of you? I mean, I know you have a website. Mm-hmm. You want to tell us about your website?
Yeah, well, they can, if they want to participate in our energy transfer events, they can join our Facebook group, which is facebook.com. Ethan Fox Energy Transfer, and it's Ethan with two N's, FOX Energy Transfer, and they can just like the page, and they'll be informed of any upcoming remote energy transmissions that I'll be doing. We also have our website for the expo is awakeandempoweredexpo.com, and that and if for no other reason than to listen to some of the interviews that that we're doing with our presenters. That will completely change your views and your perspective, and it will. There's so much information there and cures for everything imaginable. That by itself is worth it if you want to enlighten yourself about what is really happening in the world.
I'm going to have to do that. I've been crazy busy here with everything coming together, you know, in my own situations. But, yeah, I'm going to have to go check that out because I'm very intrigued, and I want to know more about what you have been talking about today. And I want to say thank you for joining the show today.
Sure.
I really enjoyed having you on my show, and I do hope that in the near future you come back and we can discuss anything new or the same thing coming up again. So I appreciate you coming on today.
Sure, my pleasure. I'm happy to come back anytime you want.
Well, thank you so much. And I want to say thank you to all my viewers today for tuning in today to the Enlightenment Hour with your host, psychic medium Antoinette. And please join me on July 16th as I will have my special guest, Francis Key, here today on that day. And I want to say thank you to everyone, and I want to say thank you to our special guest today, Ethan Fox. Again, you can check him out on Facebook or his website. And again, if you need to find that information, you can do so by going to Enlightenment Hour with BBS.com, and it's there on my webpage, and you'll be able to get a hold of Mr. Fox. And again, until next time, you guys have a great July 4th, and I'll talk to you again soon. And many blessings to you all. Have a good day.